we have in the booth with us right now Janet Watson, who's going to talk to us about some kind of schemes that go on, fraud, and one is a Ponzi scheme. Now, Ponzi spelled is spelled P-O-N-Z-I, and it dates back. So this kind of scheme dates back to the 1920s, so it's almost like a tradition. But apparently, it's coming back into vogue. Is that right, Janet?
Yes, it certainly seems to have come back with a vengeance, especially here in Quebec.
Okay, and a Ponzi scheme is basically a kind of scheme where, while described here as rob Peter to pay Paul. So what happens is that people invest with promises of having their money grow by 40% or 50% or whatever compared to what you would get from a bank. And so they invest in these plans because, you know, that's how it's presented by a company, saying that they'll invest your money and give you a good return on your money. Mm-hmm. And then what they do is some of the investors do get money back, and but the bulk of people, well, what happens is they don't get their money back and they don't get any interest and they don't even get their principal back. Is that
correct? Basically, that's correct. They're usually, it's not 30 or 40%. Usually, they're guaranteed about 8 or 9, 10%, something like that.
Well, I was basing that on what I read about what in the 20s when it first started. The first person who did it actually ran the scheme on, believe it or not, stamps, postage stamps. So he asked people to invest in these postage stamps, in which he was speculating that he could get 40% of their investment for them. And in reality, and this was back in the 1920s, in the space of, he was deluged with funds, and he took in $1 million during a three-hour period. That's in the 1920s. During wow. a three-hour period, he took in $1 million. And though a few early investors were paid off to make the scheme look legitimate, an investigation found that Ponzi had only purchased about $30 worth of international mail coupons. So based on an investment of him, he invested $30 in mail coupons, took in $1 million in 3 hours, and the Ponzi scheme was born.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Today it runs in many different forms. It can be one person. For instance, the Earl Jones case recently, it's alleged to be a Ponzi scheme where new investors' money was used to pay out old investors' money. None of the money was actually invested. It was just sort of moved from one person to another.
Now, we have to be precise that this is all allegedly.
Yes.
And I think before the courts now, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so this is all just allegedly, and so it remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Certainly, other Ponzi schemes in the past other Ponzi schemes in the past have been proven to be the real deal, and people have been prosecuted for it. So this is something that's been going on since the 1920s. The one you just mentioned is alleged. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we'll keep in mind.
There's several alleged schemes. There's another one called Mount Real. I was a victim in that case. In that case, there was 1,600 investors involved, 1,600 creditors, and they lost a total of $130 million. It is being alleged by the Autorité Marché Financière, the Quebec Financial Watchdog Group, to be a Ponzi scheme as well, but an extremely complicated one, one involving 120 different companies. And then, of course, there's the other frauds that have taken place in Quebec, Norberg, where Vincent Lacroix was convicted. There's been Norshield, there's been Tri-Global Management, and the list goes on and on. Not all of them were Ponzi schemes, but they were alleged to be fraud in
those
cases.
Of course, now, I'm suspecting that Ponzi schemes exist, and as you see, are becoming more prevalent in the region. There are other schemes as well.
Yes.
This is not the only kind
different
of fraud.
Forms of fraud. All different kinds of fraud. We're very creative when it comes to fraud in this province. And this is the reason why I'm here and trying to educate people to be careful what they invest in. We have formed a victims committee. Most of the members on the committee are victims of the Earl Jones case. But I'm also a member, and we have put together a petition which we are having signed. We would like to get as many signatures as possible. We are calling for stiffer sentencing for white-collar crime. We're calling for changes in the legislation for laws governing this type of crime. And we are also calling for a unified watchdog Canada-wide, which will oversee a regulatory body which will oversee this industry. Right now, each province has their own, and it's not efficient for the exchange of information, etc. So we would like to see one regulatory body for all of Canada to oversee this industry.
Now, are Canadians and Quebecers more susceptible to this type of crime?
Well, obviously that...
Than others?
Yes, in some ways. Obviously, in the United States, there was the Madoff case, where millions and millions and millions of dollars was lost in a Ponzi scheme. The difference between Canada and the U.S. is the laws governing this type of crime. Our laws are much too lenient. Our sentences are very light, and this is what we would like to have changed.
Okay, that would be federally?
Federally and provincially, Canada-wide, everything.
Okay, so there needs to be federal action taken?
Yes.
And provincial action as well, then?
Yes, because right now it's a provincial jurisdiction. The Autorité Marché Financière is the official watchdog of the industry in Quebec. In Ontario, it's the Ontario Securities Commission, and the rest of the provinces have their own. So we would like to get a federal body overseeing the whole industry, but all the provinces obviously have to go along with this. And at the moment, Quebec is not willing to. They think that the AMF is doing a good job. And
what do you think about that?
And we disagree, obviously. We think that that it would be more efficient to have a Canada-wide body regulating this industry.
Okay, so a lot of people have the impression that as residents of Canada and Quebec that we're not really that susceptible to this type of thing. It's the kind of thing that we hear about, but we don't usually incorporate into our day-to-day life. But you claim it's going on and it's happening and it's quite rampant?
It is quite rampant. We are very susceptible. Ordinary, hardworking, middle-class people, very susceptible to this type of fraud. In this particular region, I know of a lot of cases. A lot of people have been affected. Lives destroyed, money lost. It has a devastating effect on people. We've sort of likened it to being, well, some of the people calling it being financially raped. And the stigma of being a victim of this type of crime is the same. It's you somehow feel that it's your fault or that you should have been more careful. A lot of our victims don't want to tell their families. It's had a devastating effect on many, many, many families. And we just want to make sure that this type of thing stops and that it doesn't continue.
We feel that we're on the ball. We know what's going on. We're careful, and so we're not open to this. But you're saying that we are.
We definitely are. In my case, I was with a financial advisor who I had known for over 10 years, and he was recommended to me by someone who had known him for 30 years and seemed like an upstanding guy and gave good advice. He urged us to invest our money into this company called Mount Real. And we thought that it was all on the up and up, and for 4 or 5 years we received interest and everything was fine. And then about 4 years ago, in the summer of 2005, checks started to arrive, late interest checks for people that were actually receiving the interest. My money was in an RRSP, so I wasn't receiving interest checks, but the interest was slow being deposited, and that's usually the first sign. If things start to be slow, that the company or your investment is in trouble.
And then after things go from bad to worse after that?
Yes, they did. The Autorité Marché Financière appointed a provisional administrator. They went in, they looked at the company, and they shut it down. They said there was basically no business being done very few assets, and that was it. And $130 million of money was lost.
And you were duped into this, and you somehow feel guilty that you should have known better. Here's someone who you've known for 10 years,
yep.
who was recommended to you by someone who knew them before,
yep.
and you thought it was sound advice, yep. and you had no reason to believe anything else. So nope. anyone can be
yep. treated. We were checking the financial statements online. Everything seemed to be on the up and up, and obviously it wasn't.
The message I'm trying to get out is that, yes, it can happen to you.
Yes, it can.
Now, what could you have done to protect yourself? What could you have done to know that this was not going to work out right? Is there any way you could have known?
It's, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, but probably we could have checked more thoroughly into this company.
But if it's been around for 10 years with a good record, what would you have found?
Well, I might have found that the basis of this company was magazine subscriptions, which were being sold in the United States. When I asked my advisor what the company was actually all about, I got, you know, vague answers like, well, it does, provides accounting services and management consulting and this sort of thing. And it did to some of these 120 companies that were involved, but the basis of the company was magazine subscriptions. And had I delved farther, I might have found that out, but I really had no suspicion, so I wouldn't have probably gone that far.
Hence the need for legislation, because do you really think it's reasonable for someone to delve that far into a company's history?
Exactly.
It's not reasonable.
And most people like myself are quite uneducated when it comes to finances. We trust our advisors just like we trust our doctor and our dentist and other professionals we deal with.
If I can add one thing, you're uninformed in finances. That's why you go to someone like this
exactly.
to help you with your finances.
Exactly.
And if you have to be an expert mechanic in order, you know, to if you have a car, you have to be an expert mechanic. Or if you're not, you go to a mechanic and you have to, you know, trust what the mechanic says.
Exactly.
So what you've done is you had some investments to do. You wanted to do them wisely. Mm-hmm. You sought advice and you got it. And unfortunately, the laws weren't there to protect you.
That's right. And this is how a lot of these schemes work: is that they sort of bank on your trust. In the Earl Jones case, many of his victims had known him for...
Alleged victims, yes. Yeah.
Had known him for 30, 40, 50 years. He was a family friend. And so they also would have had no reason to suspect what he was doing.
Again, allegedly what he was doing,
yep.
There's no proof yet of anything, and everyone's innocent until proven guilty, and
yes.
We'll... and hopefully he is innocent, hopefully. But just a word to the wise, you need to sign this petition.
Yes, you need to sign this petition. The petition is available at the City Hall in Lennoxville. And I would like as many signatures as possible. I'm also, we are compiling a list of victims registry. This is a list of victims that we're compiling of all types of financial fraud. And this is being compiled by the Victims Committee.
Now, how do people who have been victims, how do they get in touch with us?
They can write to me, they can email me.
Okay.
My email address for that is janetwatson63@gmail.com.
janetwatson63@gmail.com.
That's right.
If you have been a victim of one of these schemes.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can email me your contact information and we will put you on the registry. The purpose of having this registry and the purpose of the petition, of course, is to give us some tools to use when we go to government to try and get these laws changed. There's already been a meeting with federal cabinet minister. Christian Paradis met with some of the victims, the Earl Jones Committee, three members, and I'm hoping to have in the next week a meeting with our local representative here, Monique Gagnon-Tremblay, who's a Quebec cabinet minister. So she would be a very good person to listen to our case. And hopefully by September we will have thousands and thousands of signatures and lots of victims registered.
Okay, now is this the only place where we can go to sign the petition? Is that the borough of Lenxville?
At the moment it is, or if people would like to email me, I can email them a copy of the petition as well.
Okay, well, we could have a copy here at the station that people...
You could, and I've brought one for you.
Great. Well, then you can drop by the Borough of Lenxville offices, or you can drop by our offices here in CGMQ 88.9 FM at 184 Queen Street in downtown Lenxville. Just look for the yellow school bus and drop in and sign this petition. Very important that we have the legislation required to protect us.
Absolutely.
Schemes such as the one that that might have... illegal complications involved in it don't happen in the future, or if they do, that there is some protection provided for people who are innocently taken in by this. And I say innocently because no one can be an expert in every field. As we mentioned, no one expects you to be an expert when you take your car in to be repaired. So you have to put your faith in mechanics. You have to put your faith in so many professionals nowadays. So when you go to a financial advisor, you do so with an open spirit. Unfortunately, there are people who are always willing to take advantage of someone with an open spirit. So very important to have legislation to protect. Again, that petition to strengthen the laws here in Canada and in Quebec about fraud, white-collar crime, can be signed at the Borough of Lenxville offices in Lenxville and here at CGMQ 88.9 FM downtown Lenxville. And I imagine that anyone listening who is in the outlying regions that we cover, I imagine if they wanted a copy of the petition to have in their region, that
I'd be happy to get it to them.
You could provide it with them. Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and now, again, Janet's email address for reporting fraud or for getting a copy of the petition or just for getting more information is Janet Watson, all together, no spaces or anything like that, 63, Janet Watson, 63, all together, no capitals, nothing special, at gmail.com. That's Janet Watson at gmail.com. If you want more information or if you want that email address repeated, you can call us here at the station, 819-822-1838. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. Janet, is there anything that you wanted to add that I didn't touch upon?
No, it was only one thing, and that's that when these cases do come, do happen, they're in the courts for a very, very, very long time. It takes years and years and years because they are mostly penal charges and not criminal charges. And so a lot of our victims either pass away before they've seen any form of justice. So this is another reason why we want to have these laws changed so that things can go through the courts a little bit faster.
And speaking of the courts, just reminded me of a question I have. Do you know how much time someone, if it was proven that they were guilty of something like this, how much time they would actually serve here in Canada as compared to the United States?
I think they get something like 5 years less a day. Vincent Lacroix may have gotten a total of 8 years, I believe, but he was out after I think it was about a year. He was out of prison. So, whereas Madoff in the States, there's the difference, is going to be in jail for the rest of his life.
That's quite a difference, isn't it?
Yes.
So something needs to be done.
Something definitely needs to be done because we're becoming a haven for this type of crime.
Exactly. If you're all you're going to get is a slap on the wrist for doing this and destroying people's lives,
yep.
Then all these fraudsters are going to head to Quebec and to Canada.
Exactly.
Because they know that, first of all, they'd have to get caught.
Yeah.
And even if they're caught, it takes years to be prosecuted.
That's right.
During which time, who knows where they...
They don't even have their passports taken away from them.
Yeah, so...
They can leave the country. They're free to do whatever they want while they're waiting.
Yeah, so do we really want to have an open-door policy to these fraudsters to take advantage of our people or not?
Yeah.
And if you want to stop that, the petition needs to be signed. And
Excellent.
There's a copy of it here at CGMQ and a copy at the offices of the Borough of Lenxville and beautiful downtown Lenxville. I thank you very much, Janet.
Thank you.
For informing our listeners of this. And
thank you
I really
for having
appreciate
me.
It. And hope to have you back for some updates.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
All right. Well, thank you.